Well, water is the most precious resource we have in this country, and yet it's rapidly being bought up by a hungry overseas market. A Canadian government-owned pension fund has been on a multi-million dollar buying spree and has this week been rumoured to be the largest water owner in the country. I spoke to water analyst Marianne Slattery about why Australia's water is being eyed off.
The water market has allowed the consolidation of water ownership, and we've been seeing that for the last few years. We've seen a big influx of foreign investment into Australian agribusiness and water, and that's, you know, fundamentally changing our agriculture and our regional communities.
What does it mean, though, when water is technically owned by overseas interests? Like, what does it mean in terms of the distribution of the water? Does it take power away from the government and from the Murray-Darling Basin Commission to decide where and when water goes?
Well, that's sort of an interesting question. I mean, and I think it's fair to say that the water market has become the default policy for agriculture, for drought, how water, you know, moves around. In the southern connected system, which is sort of the Murrumbidgee, the Murray and the Goulburn, you know, part of the world, in the south of the basin, we've seen a big growth in almond developments in particular near the South Australian border, on either side of the border. Almonds are one of the highest yields that, you know, anyone can grow, so they're able to outcompete everyone else based on the price they're willing to pay for water. So we're seeing water move away from dairy, from rice, from cotton, going over to almond, this massive new development.
Why is water such a good investment for an overseas massive company like this Canadian pension fund?
With almonds, for example, you know, most of the almonds, well, production is grown in California. They've depleted their groundwater. They're running out of water in California. The nut growers were looking for other places in the world where they could, you know, put new almond trees in. The type of places that you want somewhere that's hot and dry but has access to water. So you've got countries like, you know, any of the, you know, parts of Russia, Turkey, China, and Australia. And Australia's seen as being a much safer sovereign risk than some of those other countries, and they can buy the water. So it's easier for them to come to Australia.
There is a certain amount of unease about how the water market is developing. Does the government have any power to try and roll this back or to make sure that the Australians who need water, for example, in drought-affected areas, can be looked after?
I think the government's definitely got the power. They don't make the policy. It's whether they have got the will to take an interventionist approach. I mean, the water market is a very laissez-faire market, has very little regulation compared to other markets. And we're seeing water markets dominate in terms of a policy response to anything else. As soon as you raise the question, well, do we want to have all our water going to nuts in the south? The typical response is, oh, we can't have government telling farmers what to grow. But I think our policymakers should be asking those questions. Is this what we want? Because the current trajectory is we're going to have most of our, you know, we're having a fundamental shift in our irrigated agriculture in the basin and the communities that rely on that. You know, and we're seeing that with the demise of, you know, communities like, you know, Deniliquin and Finlay, for example, you know, that depend on rice and dairy. Another point is we've got a $13 billion basin plan, and a lot of that money has gone back to irrigators in different forms. Now, that attracts a lot of investment from all over the world when you've got that much money up for grabs, and you know, this is what we're seeing.
That's Marianne Slattery. She's a water analyst. I was talking to her earlier on today.